Scavenge Audio. How do we start this show? Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour Ladies Night. I'm Alison Hayslip.
I'm Maud Garrett, and for the next 30-ish minutes, we're going to be sipping some booze and spitting some news. We're going to be doing it with Tom. What's your new name for 2020?
Ooh.
Mandango Krajewski.
What's your new name? Is that what my new name is?
Many nicknames for you now.
Tom, what's your new name? Mandango.
What's your new name?
Hi, Tom. What's your new nickname? And it's like, what's my new nickname? No, that's my new nickname. Is what's your new nickname?
Oh, my goodness.
It gets confusing, but you'll get the hang of it.
Also, I will not be sipping booze this episode. I don't know about you guys, but I'm doing Dry January again.
Are you really?
Yeah.
See,
good for you.
I want to do that so bad. Yeah. I've drunk so much wine in the last 2 weeks that when I was watching a movie and wine would pop up, I would feel nauseated.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Like, looking at wine has made me sick.
This will be my third year in a row doing Dry January. And, like, I was excited to do it this year. And now I don't even think twice about it now. I'm like, oh, yeah, I just won't drink for 4 weeks.
Probably because you're happy in a relationship and we're all, like, sad and lonely and miserable.
My problem is January 26th is Australia Day. It technically shouldn't be Australia Day. And that's a whole other conversation because it's basically Invasion Day.
Right.
But. Yeah. As an Australian in America, this means a lot to me.
You went to a big party last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. See,
I got a stalker. I got a stalker from last year.
You got a stalker.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, he literally caught the same flight.
But January 26th, I mean, if you make it from the 1st to
too
the
26th. Too late, I already broke it.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Two white claws last night.
Those don't count.
I know, I can't even taste the alcohol. I don't even feel it. I had two and I was like, what is this, LaCroix?
Yes, it is, with booze.
How quickly did you drink those last night? Like, how quickly to not feel anything? Like, was it that over 2 hours or like?
No, it was within the hour. I had two.
Yeah, you should have felt that.
No, and I didn't. What's happening?
You and I have the same mutant problem, I guess. Just drink alcohol and not feel it.
Alcoholism.
All right, sorry, not mutant power. Alcoholism.
You guys, we haven't seen each other in like a month.
How has it been?
I know, I missed you guys.
Yeah,
I'm sitting across you now, and we're so sober.
Well,
last time I saw you guys.
I've got this thing where we sat down, and I was like, oh, boy. Because last time we were here, we were in for a ride.
I know.
Did you listen back to any of it?
God, no. Absolutely not. I did not listen to a single episode this year because I can't.
We were there.
Yeah.
You weren't as drunk this year on the show than you were in the previous years.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, you were really.
I've learned how to survive drunksmas more.
Yeah, you've had some experience.
But there was that drink that Todd Stashwick came in, and he's like, maybe don't drink
my
that.
The
and
beer.
You were like, okay, I'll drink it. And I was like, what are you doing? And you were fine, like, not good.
Not good.
Yeah, and it just happened like that.
Yeah,
and that was
sense.
The drink that was the straw.
Yeah, that was that really strong beer, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't remember.
I do remember it.
I couldn't even
pretend
that.
Oh,
I took a sniff of it.
Sniffer.
And I was like, yeah, you could remove paint with this.
Yeah, it was actually quite good.
Yeah.
I mean, I was very drunk, so who knows? Maybe it was paint thinner. But at the time, it was quite
went
good.
Down.
I know. So wait, what did you guys do all holiday break?
I went to New York over New Year's.
For New Year's.
Oh, my gosh. How was that?
Fantastic.
You didn't actually do Times Square, though.
God, no.
No, okay, yeah.
No, I went to a place called Dumbo House, which is one of the Soho houses, in Brooklyn.
Oh, cool,
And I've got the best view where it's like you see both the Manhattan and the Brooklyn Bridge, and my assumption was that there'd be fireworks along there.
Yes.
Went out there, did the countdown, and then this tiny little poof happened in the background way off. I'm talking like maybe 100 miles plus away.
Yeah.
And it's that thing in Fallout where if you put your thumb out and it completely covers it, I would have been fine from radiation.
Is that the Fallout trick?
If you see a nuclear.
This is good for me. No, now you're teaching me a lesson.
Well, yeah, and that. And I've gotten you into the Outer Worlds, which is the game changer.
Yeah, which is a. Thank you, by the way. Game is eating up all my.
I knew you would love it. I knew it.
I was playing it before Allison picked me up.
Oh, you were? And I can't wait for you to play Witcher 3, Allison, because I know you're going to dig
it's
it.
Yes, so
I can't wait. I have so much to catch up on from over the break. I was just with people the entire holiday break.
That's
so, like,
nice.
I haven't finished The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
I have to watch the series finale of Mr. Robot. I got Doctor Who special to get through.
I got part one down.
Oh, I can't. I'm not there yet. I have no free time. And now I'm leaving for CES, and it's like. I know.
We are leaving.
I know.
You
like
guys
just,
are both working CES.
Yeah.
So you can can say for what, right? Obviously.
I'll be doing it because I've been doing that daily
Blue Book.
That daily show for Kelly Blue Book. Yes.
She forgot real quick. Yeah.
I'm like, what does that show do? Called Ride News Now. If anyone hasn't checked that out, you can see it on YouTube. Or
that's
I tweet
cool.
them out all the time or whatever.
Oh,
but yeah, it's a great little series that I do. And so they're bringing me to CES to look into some of the cool car tech.
The car tech is sick. The big thing with car tech is that it's self-driving cars. That's like the number one thing they've been pushing for ages.
Yep.
Like each kind of like faction of electronics, whether it's mobile, 5G, smart homes, fridge.
Fridge.
Right. Oh my God. They've got this like illusion that the fridge is going to be like the next best iPad with
a
door. Oh my
gosh.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. What am I going to do? Stand at my fridge for hours playing Angry Birds?
My bed a spaceship and then I'll talk. You know, like that's where I live.
So, speaking of, do you remember last CES? What basically won the show was
The Impossible Burger 2.0.
Yes.
Yeah, that
right?
was last year?
That was, I think that was last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I vividly
remember
it.
So, over this weekend, I finally tried Beyond Meat.
I just tried for the first time last month, so we
can so I haven't
this.
Tried Impossible
I mean,
Meat.
Me neither.
I've only tried Beyond Meat.
Yeah.
Because Impossible Meat is soy-based.
Right.
But Beyond Meat is pea-based.
Yeah.
So, if you don't want to put extra soy in your life, you can do Beyond.
That is P-E-A.
P-E-A,
for those people
yes.
very confused about
yes.
the future of food.
Not urine-based.
It's called recycling
not
mod.
Not yet. We'll see where we end up. But it was interesting.
Really?
It doesn't taste bad. It just isn't meat.
Where did you have it? At a restaurant or did you cook it yourself?
No, I cooked it myself.
Oh, okay.
I
got Beyond
you
gotta
get
Meat
someone to make it
sausages.
For you.
Oh, Beyond Meat sausages.
Yes.
Oh, I had the burger patties. I haven't tried those.
So Aristotle, the renowned vegan, is doing chef kiss and fingers.
Yeah.
Like,
to Beyond Meat or Impossible Meat? Which do you like better? Both of them?
Both of them.
You're good for both. Okay,
I
great.
Loved the Beyond Burger. It was so good.
Was it? Oh, you had the Beyond Burger. Okay.
I've had an Impossible Burger.
Yeah.
Phenom.
Yeah.
I've had the, is it Beyond or Impossible Tacos that Taco Del did?
Oh.
Taco Del? Del Taco?
Del Taco.
I think most
still.
Of the fast food
really
places.
We all
still.
Know what you meant.
I think, oh, there you go. That's the Beyond Burger. I think most of the fast food places do the Impossible stuff.
It's so good.
Yeah?
Like, yeah?
Like I've done it quite a few times.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, we had a whole conversation, remember, a few podcasts ago about trying to lessen our meat intake and all that kind
I'm
of stuff.
I'm vegetarian.
Now?
Yeah, I did
what?
It. Yeah, 2020, guys.
What?
My New Year's resolution. I'm vegetarian.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
You look so good after these 4 days of being vegetarian.
So out of 4 days, there was only one time where I was like, oh, that's right. and that was ordering Thai last night. I got a yellow curry and I was like, yeah, do I want chicken in that? And I was like, no, vegetables. But every other time, every other meal, seamlessly, I don't really order meat anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was preparing for this, and so in New York, in the lead up, I was like, I need to meet it up.
Oh, interesting. Meet interesting. It. Yeah. It's like when I prep for Jai January, I'm like, holidays, all the booze.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
One last hurrah.
Yeah, exactly.
So far, so good. Yeah.
That's awesome.
The only thing about like the Beyond Meat and most of those like plant-based burgers and sausages is like they have like a ton of salt in them compared to regular.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, because like beef patties, like if you make your own burger at home, it only has as much salt in it
as you add.
Put in it. But I think like there's 330 milligrams
Oh, wow.
Or I'm sorry, I don't know, Aristotle, maybe you can bring it up. Like how much salt is in a patty of Beyond Meat? I think it's like, it's a crazy amount.
You know what? With this kind of stuff, with salt and sugars and all that stuff, let me add it. Don't you assume how much I want in my foods. Like I remember I got like the sachets of 380
380 milligrams of sodium in a Beyond Burger. Yeah.
Wow. So that's just a little bit too salty for me.
Yeah.
A little sachet of oats that was organic, and as I was pouring them into the bowl, I could see the granules of sugar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let me add that. You don't need to do that for
me.
And it's organic. Was it the sugar organic? But now it's even going further for that with me, where it's like I was, you know, menstruating, and when that happens,
we do know.
We can tell when you're doing it, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I get very cranky, and I have a lot of chocolate.
No.
So I like stormed over to the supermarket because I was like, I'm not having dinner. I'm just eating chocolate, and jelly beans, and all that. And I stocked up.
Oh my gosh!
And the woman behind me is like, oh, I get it. And I was like, good. But I was eating Hershey's cookies and cream chocolate. And I was like, why does this taste salty? And I look in the ingredients and there it is, salt. And then now I'm eating peanut butter out of the jar because don't judge me.
No
judgment. I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And I was like, this should be salty peanut butter.
Yeah.
there's bloody sugar in it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sugar in peanut butter.
Cane sugar. I'm crunching down on the sugar in the peanut butter. It's not a nut. It's sugar.
Yeah.
I'm sick
of
it. Guys, I'm sick of it.
You're sick of it. You're flipping the table on this one.
You hear that peanut butter industry?
They're going to give you a burger and already put the tomato sauce on it. No, I tell you.
Here we go. Peanut butter can have 30 or more insect fragments. What is this?
Oh, I'm a vegetarian.
What?
I'm a vegetarian.
Nope. I thought you were going to bring up something about sugar. This is about insect fragments and rodent hair and peanut
also
butter.
Applicable.
You just wrecked.
Oh my God, Mott took her shoe off and she's about to throw it.
You just wrecked the one thing that I can have.
Oh my gosh, Aristotle.
Insects and rodent hairs in peanut butter? Fuck it. If it doesn't say it on the ingredients list, they can't prove it.
Hey, you can't have, then that means you can't have, what's the Reese's Pieces? Because I think the stuff they use in Reese's Pieces also has, it's made from a bug shell.
Oh, what?
I'll look it up unless Aristotle brings
gross.
It up.
But, oh my gosh.
I actually don't like Reese's Pieces.
Technically,
I hate them now.
I hate them as a
kid. I can have like three. I don't need like a bag of Reese's Pieces. You know what I mean? Like I can pop three in my mouth and be like, cool, that's great. But
The older I get, the more things that like I would have jumped at as a kid, I'm able to be like, no, I'm good.
Oh yeah, totally agree. Yeah.
Cookies. No, I'm good. I don't need that. I don't even want that.
I know.
Reese's Pieces? So or I could not eat it.
So my family had a conversation over the holiday break about eating less meat, which is why I brought this up. And even my dad, who has been the like red meat champion in my family, is like, we might have it, like he and my mom might have it like once a week now, if just like we'll cook some nice steaks or something like that. He's like, but other than that, we mainly eat fish now. I'm like, yes. So
has he noticed a difference?
I don't know if he's necessarily noticed a difference in his health, but for him, or, you know, his energy or whatever, but for him, it was more the sustainability of everything because, you know, he's like reading up on how, what we talked about, like there's too many cows.
All there's that too many thing. Cows. And I told you I drove past that abattoir and I was just like, so sad. I'm still sad from that.
I know.
And that was months ago.
Aww.
That's right.
Yeah.
Aww. And now I'm seeing, sorry to bring a downer, but like there's a video of the bushlands in Australia.
I was going to ask you about this, Maude. I was going to make this, I was going to see if this one would be like our discussion for the show today. But do we want to talk about it now? I was going to put it on the other half of the break, but we can.
Well, we could take a break soon if you want to wait, or we can take a break now. Do you want to save? You want to save? Want to do a break?
Yeah, because it needs a little bit of time.
Okay. Well, we have an email that I want to get to too.
Oh,
so we'll take a break. We'll get to the email and then we'll
buckle
talk.
Up and get ready to donate, guys.
Yeah. All right. We will be right back. Okay. We're back. And before we get to this email, Aristotle made us aware of something that apparently vegetarians and vegans go through.
He goes, Maude, have you had your meat mare yet? And I was like, I beg your pardon, son. That's not a real word. And he showed me that apparently there is evidence of very many vegans and vegetarians having panicked nightmares about eating bloodied burgers.
Whoa.
Pepperoni on pizza or tuna.
Meat
or
mare,
like,
I like it.
And Aristotle had one.
He dreamt that he had a burger, like a non-vegan burger, and panicked and literally jumped out of bed, like sweating.
I haven't had my meat mare yet. But I didn't really eat much meat to begin with, and I'm not as like clinical as you about it. So if like if
she
I
means
eat
lame
some,
Aristotle.
So if I eat something, I'm like, oh man, there's like a bit of bacony taste to this, and someone's like, yeah, there's bacon bits in it. I'd be like, no, man, that's unfortunate.
That sucks. Yeah.
Whereas Aristotle was like,
no.
Let me speak to the manager. And they're like, all right, Karen.
I love that you just, Karen. Yeah, I love that you made
Karen
Aristotle immediately. What, Karen Stottle?
Karen Stottle.
Oh, okay. My God, Tom, yes.
It is.
Sorry, Aristotle. That's your name for when you get
Karen
all.
Karen Stottle. Oh, my God, uppity about your food.
Yes,
that's great.
Karen Stottle is here. Okay, we have an important email to
let's
get
this
to.
Mood.
This is from Ryan. It's entitled Happy Belated Drunksmiths. He says, hi 4-H crew, Maude, Tom, and Catastottle.
Oh, Catastottle.
Can't forget about Allison. Hi, Allison. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
So here we go. He says, happy belated Drunksmiths. I hope you all enjoy the Star Wars Lego set.
Oh, that
do you
was
remember
him.
When we opened that up and I was like, I don't know who this is from.
Yeah.
We now
Ryan.
Know.
Oh,
it's
cool.
From Ryan.
Thanks,
thank
Ryan.
You, Ryan. He's actually the same person who sent it last year because
cool.
he says, like last year, please donate any earnings to the California Fire Foundation.
Okay.
So
okay,
we will
awesome.
Once again,
yeah, that's great.
We will do a live caffeine. We'll have to hit up our old friend Alex Albrecht and do a live caffeine build of this and then we'll auction it off on eBay.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
And all of that money will go to the California Fire Foundation.
If Alex remembers us, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I know. He's like, I did an episode of this podcast, I guess, over the holidays. And now a story about walking sticks.
Yeah.
Enjoy. I'm just going to finish this email and then I'll bring up the story. Hope you all enjoy the holidays. Wishing you all a happy and healthy new year. Much love from New York, Ryan. So he sent us this great story, which is actually going to kind of, it has to do with Australia. So this is perfect.
Yay.
This is the story. Is
of a girl. Who cried a ribbon and drowned
the whole world.
Sorry.
She looks so sad in photographs.
Absolutely love her.
When she smiles. Oh, we just relived such a great time.
Oh, what was that? 1999?
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. 1996, maybe?
Okay, this is entitled Six-Legged Giant Finds Secret Hideaway, Hides for 80 Years.
I only have two legs. Thank you very much.
Okay. So this place is called Ball's Pyramid.
Yeah, it is.
You guys are the worst. It's named after a guy named Ball. It's what's
he only had one? Poor guy.
Aw, it's his last name.
I think I have a few friends who only have
like
one.
Like B-A-L-L?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's still there, but it just died.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
It can just... One died. Can just die.
You can sprain it too, and then like it dies.
I think he had like a gland infection, and it went down there, and one it just blew up to the size of a grapefruit, and it died.
Oh Jesus!
That's Maud laughs.
Oh my God!
I'm just what a ridiculous sentence to say. It blew up like a grapefruit. And
you
died.
Get implants, right? Like when you have breast.
I've had a friend or two who's had to have one removed, and
they get two.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and one of my guy friends was self-conscious about it, and I had to be like, dude. No woman is going to care.
No.
Really?
No.
No.
We are not going to care.
Oh, wow.
Whatever. We kind of just avoid that area.
I mean, yeah, it's literally called a ball sack.
Yeah.
Like, that is not Rainbow Road. That is not Candy Corn Lane. It is a ball sack.
I understand and I have empathy for your feelings, but know that on the other side of the fence, no woman is going to care.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm not going to care. All right, anyway, back to Ball's Pyramid. It's what's left of an old volcano that emerged from the sea about 7 million years ago.
Whoa. Where is this?
It sits off Australia.
Australia.
It's extremely narrow. It is over 1,800 feet high, and it sits alone.
I'm sorry. We have a loner volcano.
No, it's what's left of an old volcano. Oh. So the volcano isn't there anymore. It's just a massive rock.
Oh, cool.
What's more, for years this place had a secret. It is 225 feet above sea level, hanging on the rock surface. There is a small, spindly little bush. And under that bush, a few years ago, two climbers, working in the dark, found something totally improbable hiding in the soil below.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
There is this spindly little bush.
Yes.
On the balls.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Either the author of this article has the best sense of humor or is utterly clueless. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Yes.
About 13 miles from this spindle of rock is a bigger island called Lord Howe Island. Do you know that island, Ma?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, on Lord Howe.
Lord Howe, I wish I did.
Oh, good one. There used to be an insect famous for being big. It's a stick insect.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
A critter that masquerades as a piece of wood.
Don't do that.
And the Lord Howe Island version was so large, it's as big as a human hand, that the Europeans labeled it a tree lobster because of its size and hard lobster-like exoskeleton.
That's so cool.
Yes. It was 12 centimeters long and the heaviest flightless stick insect in the world.
Jeez.
Local fishermen used to put them on fishing hooks and use them as bait.
Whoa.
Okay? So, one day in 1918... A supply ship, the SS Macombo from Britain, ran aground at Lord Howe Island and had to be evacuated. One passenger actually drowned during this.
Boo.
The rest were put ashore. It took 9 days to repair the ship, and during that time, some black rats managed to get from the ship to the island, where they instantly discovered a delicious new rat food, giant stick insects.
The stick lobster.
Yes. 2 years later, the rats were everywhere and the tree lobsters were gone.
Aww.
Totally gone. After 1920, there wasn't a single sighting. By 1960, the Lord Howe stick insect was presumed extinct.
Because of rats.
Yes.
Nasty rats.
There was a rumor, though. Some climbers scaling Ball's Pyramid in the 60s said they had seen a few stick insect corpses lying on the rocks that looked, quote, recently dead.
Oh.
But the species is nocturnal. And no one went to scale the spire hunting for bugs at night.
No.
Fast forward to 2001.
Some bastard's got no life.
Two Australian scientists.
Yes.
There you go.
Went
nocturnal
David,
on a ball climb.
Yeah. David Brittle and Nicholas Carlisle with two assistants, decided to take a closer look. From the water, they'd seen a few patches of vegetation, the spindly plants, bushes.
Spindly bushes.
That just might support walking sticks. So they boated over. They say, quote, swimming would have been much easier, but there were too many sharks.
Yep.
Oh, of course.
Australia.
They crawled up the vertical rock face about 500 feet, where they found a few crickets, nothing special. But on their way down, on a precarious, unstable rock surface, they saw a single Melaleuca bush peeping out of a crack and underneath what looked to be fresh droppings of a large insect.
This thing's got droppings.
Yeah, yeah, they saw insect shit. Where did that poop come from, they wondered. The only thing to do was to come back after dark with flashlights and cameras to see if the poop would the pooper would be taking a nighttime walk.
Oh, shit.
So they scale the wall. They reach the bush. They spread out the bushy surface where two enormous, shiny black bodies looked back at them. Yeah, these things are black.
What?
And below those, two slithering into the muck. What's more, they found 24 of these tree lobsters.
They're breeding.
Good for
them. They were alive and enormous. Looking at them, he felt like it was stepping back into the Jurassic Age when insects ruled the world. So then it takes 2 years for them to conclude that these are the only ones alive in the world.
Wow, that's
and they have to figure out what to do with them now. And so the Australian government didn't know if the animals on Ball's Pyramid could or should be removed. There were meetings, studies, 2 years passed, and finally they agreed to allow scientists to remove four. Basically, like two male and female sets to bring them back to see if we can save
what
the species.
What they should have done is, I guess if the one dies, that works.
Yeah,
you
so they
do
did.
One male and three females, and he would just have a
Well, so they separated
time.
The pairs. One pair went to a guy who's an expert on stick insects, but they almost immediately died.
What's that? That's
Jurassic Park quote.
So they went to this walking stick insect expert, but they died within 2 weeks. And so the other two, who were named Adam and Eve, they went to the Melbourne Zoo.
Melbourne.
Oh. Yeah.
Have they procreated?
They have.
That's a beautiful story.
There you go.
Did they call it match?
They now, in...
Because the match built a stick.
Aww.
Match stick.
In 2008, they had at least 700 adults in the captive population.
Wow.
So now there's a whole debate figuring out what to do with these things. I didn't even show you a picture.
Oh, there they are.
Yeah, that's it. There you go.
That's so gross.
I was still never holding that.
I had a very different picture in my mind. There is nothing stick-like about it,
there
guys.
There you go. It's a tree lobster.
I'm okay with the rats being introduced back into that island.
It's such a cool story.
That is a cockroach lobster.
Yeah.
There's nothing stick about it.
No.
It is a cockroach lobster.
Yep. But there you go. That's it. So now they're trying to figure out, do they...
Far out Australia. It couldn't be cute.
We get
koalas. You gotta give us that.
Oh, the koalas.
So now they're trying to figure out, do they put these insects back on the island? Did they put them out into the wild? They can't put them back on Lord Howe's Island because it still has the black rats.
It still has the rats.
Yeah.
So the rats obviously are the most brilliant because they got the cane toads. The rock lobster put it in a fight with the cane toad?
Ooh.
See who wins. Mm. If they can take the cane toad out, let's put them all over the country. If they cannot, they go back to your rock.
Go back to your rock. Go back to your balls pyramid.
Yes. It's a ballsy move.
Anyway, that was a great story from Ryan. But now that we are on the subject of Australia, Maude, I do want to talk to you about what's happening in your homeland.
It's devastating. So the worst part about this and the start of the story is that Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison, who I like to, everyone calls him ScoMo, and now he is just affectionately known as a piece of shit.
Ooh.
He denied climate change.
Oh, God.
Ooh. Now, my uncle, who was in politics, his whole mission was to be an advocate for climate change.
Right, right.
And they're just so backwards. And ScoMo is basically, he's on the side of what the Republicans would be. So we're all consecutively going a bit backwards here and keeping it conservative. And that means just such science denial with climate change.
Right.
The temperatures have gone to like 105, I think something like.
Oh my gosh.
Something like a... Two-thirds of the country is more than 95 degrees.
And that's that's sans the fires. Or is that because of the fires?
Because of the fires.
Okay, got it.
But it does get really, really hot and dry in some parts of Australia.
Because it's summer in Australia
it
now.
It is.
Yeah.
And bushfires are not uncommon. They usually happen. A lot of the time, there's a lot of backburning that will happen. We had a bit of a worry with fires that were only in Victoria a couple of years ago. And now they've just balls to the wall, a lot of fire.
I saw a map. It was all over the place.
Yeah. It is spreading profusely.
Like, I was under the impression it was mainly in the outback because that's where most of the wilderness is. But it's around
coast,
all the major
right?
cities. Yeah.
It's, well, the smoke is affecting all major cities.
Yeah.
But it's, like, anywhere from, like, an hour out of, like, the major hub districts.
Yeah.
Like, they're burning up big time. So, I've had my uncle has needed to evacuate his
really?
Yep, his home.
Jesus.
My immediate family in Brisbane are safe at the moment. Mm-hmm. But in saying that, 10 years ago we flooded. Well, I mean, not even that.
Right.
You know, we lost the bottom level of our house because it was just filled with water.
Yeah.
Yeah, Australia is brutal in that sense.
Ooh.
The hardest part is though, there were warnings and studies that this temperature would rise and potentially cause a lot of bushfires, and the Prime Minister wouldn't meet with this man. They cut funding. And so what's happening at the moment, volunteer firefighters, they're not being paid. Mm. They are the ones trying to put this blaze out, and they are incredibly understaffed, and they've got very limited resources, and they're losing this fight.
Wow.
10 people, I think, at the moment have died.
Oh, my God.
They evacuate entire cities and push them to the beach and basically say, if this comes any closer, wade out into the water and go under.
What?
Yep.
Wade out in the water and go under to stay.
God, I wasn't seeing that. The stuff I've been seeing online is the animals. Like, koalas, like, coming
half
out and, like, literally drinking water out of people's hands because they're so thirsty.
Half a billion species have perished.
Half a billion?
Billion.
Yeah.
Have perished.
Dick biting spiders?
30% of the entire koala population.
What?
Oh, God.
It doesn't exist. There was this video in an area once the fire had spread through, God. Driving through, and you can see that all the animals have tried to flee, and they are just...
Oh, no.
Just dead. And I saw a picture yesterday, and I burst into tears, cried my eyes out. There was a joey that got caught in a wide fence trying to escape, and it was just a charred corpse.
Yeah.
So what's really cool, there is something positive here. The government shithouse, he went to Hawaii... on a vacation, and everyone's like, the whole country's on fire, and he's like, oh, this was a detour and terrible. We're actually trying to get him fired.
Yeah.
Sounds
similar.
Yeah, right? This incompetence. And then apparently he sends like 3,000 of the defense force to go and help, but didn't actually communicate with the fire and emergency department, and they're like, this is actually going to make things worse.
Oh.
You need to talk to us because this is what we do need,
yeah.
And you're not delivering on it. And then he put out a Facebook and social media ad saying, we're doing all these great things. And it's like, how do you have time to make an ad when this celebrity, her name's Celeste Barber, she's a comedian.
I know that name.
She does those things where it's like the Kylie Jenner's doing this awesome pose, and so she tries to do the same thing. But
oh,
like
yes.
The reality.
Yes.
She made a Facebook group to try and fundraise. I think she wanted to try and raise $250,000.
Yeah.
Within 4 days, she's raised $26 million.
$26 million.
That's amazing.
And that's for the fire part. I would like to try and raise money for WIRES, which is the wildlife, basically rehabilitation center and services. So a lot of the time, and this is what's heartbreaking as well, all the animals that they're getting, euthanizing them is the best thing to do because they're just in excruciating pain. They're burnt. But those that can be saved, they are rehabilitating them.
Right.
And that is going to be a huge, arduous process. And I am trying to raise money, for WIRES. So if you go to wires.org.au, there is a really clear and easy way to donate there.
Wonderful.
And I'm going to try and rustle up a little bit of attention and exposure on
that. Okay, well, when we post this episode on Monday, let's make sure you tweet that out with the...
Yeah.
With the link
as
well.
I've actually asked a friend, another Australian friend, to kind of like join in on me for this fight.
Yeah.
Radio silence. Oh. So.
Really?
Yeah. I might just have to do it myself because I just want to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like the hardest thing when anyone in the world is dealing with some sort of world tragedy like this. It's like, you always feel like, what do I as a singular person
do? Yeah, what can one person do? And it's like, well, if a lot of people do a little, it actually turns into a lot.
Yeah.
But what sucks, though, what is it, last year, a year before, the Notre Dame?
Yeah.
No, that was 2019. That was,
You know, caught fire during renovations, and they lost a big part of it, and the world raised $650 million.
Right.
a lot of Australians are hearing the silence from the rest of the world.
Yeah, there was a joke, like,
cool, there's one building that has a lot of history and it's a huge, important, like, historical building.
Well,
but two-thirds of our country.
Yeah.
And, like, half a billion species.
This is no justification for those numbers that you just threw out, but I believe the Notre Dame donation got a lot of donations from private corporations, which
it's like what
no, you're
is more
absolutely
important.
Right, but but you know when something's coming from a corporation, it's normally like investors being like, oh well, we look cultured, and if we put $50 million into saving Notre Dame, as opposed to
the fun fact, the painter, the person, the architect, all of that. They've been dead a while, so they actually can't come back to fix it.
So they can
only kind of like do their best.
Yeah.
And if I could refer to the Jesus painting or whatever that painting was, where the woman's like, "I'll restore it."
Yeah.
Wait, what was that?
You know that
the ugly,
the infamous picture of this.
This woman tried to restore an old saint painting.
Really?
Oh
my!
Right?
And she had no qualifications.
You've seen it.
She couldn't paint, and it looked like the Scream guy.
Oh my God!
Oh
no!
My God, please
you have
find
not
it
seen
Aristotle.
This.
I don't think
it's,
so.
It's
Aristotle find this?
It was like this huge thing where you're like, what the fuck happened?
Why? Who let her do it?
She just did it on her own.
So, how did she get access to this old painting?
I think she was a part of like the museum and the curating or like the historical, you know, restoration.
Do you think she hit a point in that?
That!
Oh my God. Oh, I have seen this.
Oh, it is Jesus.
I have seen this.
Like,
the infamous botched Jesus painting is now a major tourist attraction.
Jesus died a while ago and now has a neck beard. Like, that's what happened.
Oh, he actually kind of looks more like a woman now, I feel like.
Oh, so bad.
But do you think this woman hit a point? Like, she started and she was like, ooh, that didn't work out like I wanted to. Let me try to fix it like this. Now I've made it worse. Oh, no. And then it became the entire.
That is the poster woman for lying on your resume.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what's going on in Australia. It's been a really somber time.
Yeah.
But I do believe that when you have moments like this, it brings out the best in people.
Absolutely.
In terms of like giving and volunteering and helping.
Yeah.
Also brings out the worst in people. So there was a woman who fled and evacuated because, you know, you have to get out of there when there's a fire.
Yeah.
She drove back a couple of days later. Her house was absolutely fine. It had been looted.
Of course.
Oh, God.
You know? So it's like. Man.
That's really frustrating. I mean, that's, you know, my parents, when Hurricane Matthew came through Hilton Head like 3 or 4 years ago, my parents have had to evacuate like Hilton Head 3 or 4 times
in the
times that they've lived there. But Hurricane Matthew was the really bad one because it had these crazy winds and it actually ripped up something like 500,000 trees off the island. So while you would think in a hurricane what you would be concerned about is flooding, which normally that is the case, on Hilton Head, it was destruction from trees because most people came back and their houses were just torn in half by a tree or something like that. And my parents came back and they walk up to their house and their house is still standing there and it's all fine. And they're like, oh my God, how were we the lucky ones? And of course, they were so thankful and they walk into the house and no, it wasn't looted. Thank God. That's not where this story goes. But they walked, like my dad went off to the right where the bedrooms are. And my mom went off to the left where the living room is. And then there's this sunroom attached to the living room. And she just goes, Bruce, where's the sunroom? A tree had fallen on the sunroom roof and just sheared that room straight off the house because it was an addition to the house. So the house itself, that room didn't have any load-bearing walls, which was like by the grace of God on something like that. So they still dealt with damage, but it was like, you know, compared to other people who came back and literally didn't have a place to live. Right. It's like,
Yeah, there was this joke I saw online this morning about how Australia is now rushing to build a Notre Dame replica in the way of the fire. so that way, when the fire gets to it,
oh my gosh,
people will actually donate and help and give a shit.
It was funny.
If anyone looks at this photo of the burnt Joey trapped in the fencing, then that's what did
that's
it for me.
Awful.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, now you can, you know, pray for those firefighters and the calendar you got for Christmas.
Yeah.
The Australian firefighters calendar.
They're busy at work.
Way to bring it back around.
My tax dollars. I'm just like, take that money.
Oh my God. That's real funny. All right. I want to touch on something just real quick to end up the episode, just because we got a lot of emails over the break. But two emails in particular, they both brought up the same thing. This is from an episode a while ago when we were talking about all the Star Wars stuff, which, by the way, next episode, I think we need to get into a discussion about Star Wars.
Okay. Yeah. Anytime.
Yeah. But this specifically, remember we were talking about the, we brought up like the droids and everything like that in Star Wars. And a few people caught this, that we said, the IG-88, the bounty hunter droid from Empire Strikes Back, was brought up in relation to IG-11 from the show, The Mandalorian, when we were talking about that. Maud pointed out that along with a group of bounty hunters, including Boba Fett, they were hired by Jabba the Hutt. Unfortunately, it was actually Darth Vader.
It was Darth Vader.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Multiple people were like, excuse me, Jabba the Hutt doesn't actually show up till Return of the Jedi and all those. And I was like, oh, shit, you're totally right. We we all just missed that fact. Like, obviously, when you say that, you're like, duh, it's Darth Vader. So
cool. You know the best part? I get corrected all the time. It's so cool to have it on the podcast, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all missed that. Like, it's not like... It's not like I sat here and was like, oh, wait a minute, that's not, so we got, we heard you all, sorry, we meant Darth Vader.
I just don't see Darth Vader as the kind of guy who's got a Rolodex, you know, and he's just like cycling through and making a few personal phone calls to get Han Solo. But there it is.
But yeah, I know, I guess, that is so weird. Like now that I'm thinking about, I mean, it's been a hot second since I've watched
like Jar Jar
the originals.
I'm not Jar Jar, sorry. Oh, fuck, there's some new emails. Give it to me.
But no, when you say, when I was thinking about it, I'm like, wait, why does Jabba end up with Han at the beginning of Empire Strikes Back when I forget. What? I totally forget.
I'm not a Star Wars guy. I just like the way you say Darth Vader. Say Darth Vader again.
Darth Vader.
It's very Boston. Yo, Darth Vader. Fucking Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, my favorite thing ever is the Star Wars cantina. Death Star. Cantina.
Oh yeah, the
far out. Yeah. Eddie Izzard.
Yeah,
it's so good. Know this.
He's like, well, you're on the Death Star, right? I mean, like, what would it be like? Because you've got to eat, obviously, all these stormtroopers and all that. Got to eat food, and so what? Do they have a canteen? They must. Is it Darth Vader going up to the canteen, and someone's like, "Hello, so he's like, what have you got on today? Oh, we've got a penne arbore carta, and we've got a. What would you like? I will eat my own. I am Darth Vader. I do not need assistance. Well, you're going to have to take a tray, Mr. Vader.
Yeah.
Darth Vader. Well, you're going to need a tray because it's very hot, but I am a Dark Lord and I do not require a tray. It's his whole
it's
bit.
It's so good.
It's the
oh,
best.
My God. I've never heard of this. Yes. I have to look it up.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah. All right, sweet. Well, there you go. We now we're a little hint at what next week's episode will be about lots and lots
Darth Vader.
Of Star Wars. I have to finish The Mandalorian. I'll do that.
I just finished
get
it.
Get to it.
Yeah.
It's good.
I know. All right. I think we crushed it.
I think so.
One more time, Maud, why don't you give out the name for the what you want people to donate to Australia?
Yeah. Wires. Wires. I have to put the R in there.
Wires.
Otherwise, I say wires.
Wires.
.org.au.
Yeah.
And straight away, the page will come up and it's like, donate now. And it's super easy to do it. So that would be amazing. And if that doesn't work, because I'm going to give that a go and see if Americans are able to donate, if it's a global thing.
Right. Oh,
if not, I might even set up a GoFundMe and just like, you know,
yeah, kick it all
just like
there.
American people who are like, I'm so confused. I don't understand. What's
yeah,
the red
please.
Cross?
Yeah, please. No, like legitimately, that's how I feel. I'm like, I don't know what to do in this scenario.
So it's
and that's
a simple thing where it's like, hey, it's all here.
Yeah.
And we can distribute.
Yeah. That's why specifically, like on the way over to this, I was like, I want to make sure I talk to Maud about what's happening in Australia because I'm sure she will have a much better idea.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Than my naive ass does.
It's not good.
All right. Well, we did it.
Like and subscribe.
If you want to email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at halfhourhappyhr. Please subscribe to us on whatever you listen to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play,
Spotify,
all that good stuff. And that is it for the first official episode of 2020 of the Half Hour Happy Hour. Ladies Night. I'm Allison Haslett.
I'm Maud Garrett.
Thank you, Tom, whatever your nickname is now, Mandango Krajewski. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Star Bands Audio,
a podcast. A podcast network.